Hello and welcome to the 34th edition of Random Pursuit on the Incomparable Network's game show, a game that discards the board and shuffles trivia cards from lots and lots of trivia games. I am your scorekeeper, Stephen Schepansky, and now your host of this and every episode of Random Pursuit, Erica Ensign.
Thank you, Stephen. As always, we have a great group of players whom I will introduce in the order they'll play. That order was, as always, determined by random.org.
Random.org.
We bring the random to you.
All right, bring on.
You.
Hoorah. All right, player one. She is hoping for some Lucky Seven style luck as it is her seventh Random Pursuit appearance. Will she finally get a win? Good luck to you, Shelley Brisbane.
Wow. Seven. Lucky Seven. I am flummoxed. I don't know what to say, but I'm going to crush you all.
player two, he's hoping for a lucky eight. Is that a thing? Because he's also still looking for his first Random Pursuit win. Welcome, Glenn Fleischman.
It's an extraordinary thing how close one gets to victory and then seizes defeat from its jaws.
player three, she is with Shelley and hoping for a lucky seven in chasing her first win. Welcome, Jean McDonald.
Oh my God, seven times. It's a joy every time. It's just all blended together into one happy time for me.
It's been a lot of years. We don't think about exactly how many. We don't do that here. No. Player four, she's probably the closest thing we have to a defending champion today. She's back for her ninth Random Pursuit appearance and has won three times. And interestingly, Whoa. Two of those times were ties. Welcome back, Deb Stanish.
Has it really been nine times?
Nine times.
Wow. And I, you know, in my head, I'm still terrible at this game. I need some affirmations.
The chorus of Deb saying, oh, but I'm so bad, and then winning so many times. And player five, this boggled my mind because as far as I can tell on the spreadsheet, he's never been on Random Pursuit before. Can that be true? Because it seems impossible that this really is the first Random Pursuit appearance of game show stalwart and host of Friendly Competition, Lex Friedman. Is that right, Lex?
I really thought I was on one episode.
I thought so too, but
what do I know?
The spreadsheet doesn't lie.
I was on the Christmas episode. I was on the Christmas episode.
Oh,
is there
that's
a special
not
Christmas episode.
That is not Random Pursuit. That is the Kathy's Christmas trivia show. So
that might have been the only trivia game I've done.
Wow, canonical Random Pursuit.
Yes, it. I mean, it counts as a game show, but it doesn't count as an episode of Random Pursuit. So
we'll have you back for the Sukkot special next year. Don't worry.
Can't wait.
All right, so now that we have our players, here's how it works. Random Pursuit is a lot like the classic Trivial Pursuit board game, but instead of using the board, each player has their own six-sided die.
Or a dice rolling app like Dice by Peacock.
I love how you do that. The players roll their die to determine which question on the card they will answer.
For each question they answer correctly, they get 1 point. If they answer correctly, they can roll again for another question, but they can only answer up to 3 questions on each turn, except for the final round, the infinity round, when there is no question limit.
That name is not legally binding, just so you know.
Unlike the Random Pursuit trademark, which is.
Totally. Yeah. If they roll the same number 2 times in a row on the same turn, they get to pick which edition the question comes from. It's almost always a children's edition, and I am A-okay with that. No shame. If they happen to roll the same number all 3 times on the same turn, they can pick both the edition and the category. Occasionally I miss this, so just holler if I do.
And we will play for an amount of time determined by me. Then we'll do one last round with no question limit. And the player with the highest score at the end becomes the random champion with bragging rights that last until the next total solar eclipse.
Okay. Wow. That's the most specific I think we've ever been.
That's right.
Right.
Timestamp, and we're recording this one, everyone.
Uh-huh. All right. So on that, let's dive in. First up at the top of the list is Shelley. Shelley, go ahead and roll your die.
I've rolled a 3.
All right, this is coming from the Trivial Pursuit Totally 80s edition, in which category 3 is movies. And I will tell you that the Totally 80s edition came out in 2005. Anyway, here's a question. Movies, Totally 80s. What movie gave John Candy the chance to yell, "What you looking at? You never seen a guy who slept with a fish before?"
Was he in that movie? Was it A Fish Called Wanda?
That is a movie. That is the name of a movie, but that is not the movie they are looking for.
What is it? Planes, Trains, and Automobiles?
It's not.
Is Splash. It
Uncle
that
Buck?
That would have been my
Splash.
Second guess.
I would have guessed Uncle Buck, but no, Glenn's right.
Guess the Splash.
Ghost point for Glenn.
Never seen Splash.
It is Splash. Oh, we're going to add that to the list.
Oh, really?
I have no recollection of John Candy being in that. I can only think of, what's his face?
Tom Hanks?
Schitt's Creek. What's his name?
Eugene Levy. Oh. Yeah.
Actually,
he's the scientist, right? And John Candy must be Tom Hanks' friend.
Brother.
Yeah. So who produced this movie with all these SCTV people
in it? I don't know.
Yeah,
I know.
I did forget to point out that this totally 80s edition is the only sold in Canada edition. It's the Canadian edition. It has specifically like extra questions from Canada.
Oh.
So
every question is SCTV.
We started strong. We started strong with John Candy, so I feel good about that.
All right. I've got a lot of SCTV trivia in my head. I'm really
Yes, but have you seen the board that they recorded it on like Stephen has?
Yeah.
No. All right. That's actually,
we'll get into it, Glenn. We'll get into it.
All right, that's impressive. That's the episode.
All right. Well, Glenn, think about that while you roll and tell me what you get.
A two.
All right. This is coming from the TV edition, which came out in 1991. This time, I think that's actually helpful information.
Okay.
This is the one that's only shiny on one side of the card, Glenn. I am sorry.
Oh, no.
Yep. I'm sorry.
No.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It's that one.
It is. And the category two is sitcoms. So tell me, what type of music does Loretta Haggers sing on Mary Hartman, Mary Hartman? Haggers,
oh
Haggers. I don't know how to pronounce it.
That show, if I'm remembering right, it lasted one season and starred Louise Lasser. Oh, I'm giving out information. It was seminal work in ironic parody. This is just data. I'm just giving you data. Can you read the name of the singer again?
Sure. It's Loretta Haggers, H-A-G-E-R-S. It might be Haggers.
And it's, question is...
Yeah, what type of music does Loretta Haggers sing on Mary Hartman, Mary Hartman?
Oh my gosh. I mean, I can picture the waxy yellow buildup.
Revving up for my
show.
Ghost point.
Ooh.
Oh, what kind of music?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what type of music?
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. I'm flummoxed. I know so much about that show except the answer to this question. It's type of music. I don't want to drag it out if my brain doesn't contain it. I don't know if I can list this. Well, I'm trying to list it out, but my brain says, no, sorry, it's empty in that spot that you retained Louise Lasser related information all these years. I'm just going to say folk.
That is not it. Shelley, what is your ghost point answer?
Close. It's country. And she is played by Mary Kay Place.
I don't even know. Would we have accepted country?
Yes, we would have accepted country or Western.
The answer is country and Western.
Yeah. Oh, both kinds.
Not Western. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. I like the Blues
Brothers.
I
don't feel too bad, but that's amazing.
All right, Jean, that brings us to you. Can you get a point?
I would like to have a point. And I do have one. No. I don't yet, but with my number four category, and I don't know what it is, but.
All right. This is coming from the Trivial Pursuit Decades 2010 to 2020. That is the edition. And category four is purple, which means it is hashtag culture. Yes.
Oh, no. Hashtag.
The hashtag's included. Yep. Uh-huh. All right. So. Oh, it's multiple choice for you. So here you go.
You will need to answer in the form of a hashtag. Though, so.
I don't think so, but maybe. Which of the following iPod models was not discontinued by Apple in 2017? Like I said, multiple choice. Touch, Nano, or Shuffle. Which of those was not discontinued by Apple in 2017? Touch, Nano, or Shuffle?
I'm going to say not. So two were discontinued in 2017 and one was probably discontinued earlier. And I remember when the Touch was discontinued because we bought a lot of them for App Camp for Girls. Shuffle was, I'm going to say the Shuffle.
I'm afraid that is incorrect.
Oh,
I would have gone Touch.
Lex would have been right. Ghost point for Lex. Touch apparently is the answer.
So Touch was canceled late. It was later, wasn't it?
It was. Yeah, it was,
it was around for a long time.
Goodness.
Wow. All right. Well.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, you kept the streak going, I guess, Gene.
Yeah. So I'm consistent with my comrades.
All right, Deb, can you break this streak?
I also have a 4.
All right, this is coming from the 1990s Time Capsule edition, and I can tell you this card is all questions from 1992. So set your brain to 1992 and think about trends. Trends.
Okay.
I have finally memorized what that TRD on the card stands for. Thank goodness. All right. So, who abandoned her trademark headband during her hubby's run for national office in 1992?
Who abandoned? I think that was Hillary Clinton.
It was Hillary Clinton. Deb, you've broken the streak and gotten a point. You get to roll again.
Well, clearly she's not going to beat us like usual. What,
once you said that, I was like, I can't think of it. And once you said that, I suddenly had like 15 images of Hillary Clinton in headbands popping into my head.
She was the only person I could think of that wore a headband.
Didn't realize it was a signature.
I have a 3.
All right. This time it's coming from the Genus edition. Good old classic Genus. History, of course, is category 3 in the right and proper Genus editions. What bird did Benjamin Franklin advocate as the U.S. national symbol?
Well, oddly enough, I was at the Ben Franklin Museum today.
What?
Wow.
In Philadelphia.
No, come on.
No, I spent the day as a tourist in Philadelphia.
Name dropper.
Wow. Dodging WrestleMania fans who had taken over my city. carrying very large belts and taking selfies with historical things. It was very odd.
The WrestleMania fans weren't at the Ben Franklin Museum, or they were?
No, they were. They were like all, you know, I guess the match doesn't start till tonight, so they were looking for something to do.
He has a lot in common with them, though, I think.
So I'm going to say that he was not a fan of the bald eagle, and he actually wanted the turkey to be the national bird.
He sure did. That is one that I knew. I was gonna get a host ghost point.
Wow. And that's why the president spares a turkey every Thanksgiving.
Is that that's why the president?
No,
it's not.
Not at all. No.
I should never believe anything you say, especially when it's about the United States of America.
American History by Stephen Shapansky.
Yeah, but we can
and it was
all...
actually, I was thinking of Glenn today because we went into the print shop and they were showing us how the type was laid and the big stumpy things for the ink. It was very interesting.
They fun fact, in order to soften those up, they soak them in urine every evening.
Oh, good Lord. I did not need to know that.
Not a fun fact.
That's a fact.
They do not do that now. That's why it didn't smell.
Wow. All right. All right. Well, instead of rolling your die there, Deb, unless you happen to have an 8-sided die on hand, I will be rolling for you.
I do not have an 8-sided die.
Not fun fact.
All right. I rolled a 6. This is coming. So as you may have guessed, we got some Czechs trivia happening here. It is Czechs. Yay. Music trivia. It is coming from 1984. That's the year that this game came out. And question 6 on the card is, what was Ozzy Osbourne's first group called?
Oh, good Lord. What was his first group called?
Sometimes
that's
Steven's face,
you,
I wish I could just share what his face looked like to everybody. I'm not going to tell you what it looks like right now because that might give Deb a hint somehow. But
he's got pictures. That's
but he has
great.
A face. He has a face on right
face.
Now. That's
oh, my God. I honestly, I don't have a clue because he was only interesting after he, you know, kind of left and went out on his own.
Opinions may vary on that.
It was a big group. It was like a big metal group. I mean, I was reading something about Sharon Osbourne, like in her.
Were you at the Ozzy Osbourne Museum earlier this week?
No, I was not at the Ozzy Osbourne Museum. Look, I am so easy for the National Park Passport. Like this is like I love this thing, and I like realized that we had nothing from Philadelphia. I've lived here like forever, and so yeah. So no. There's no Ozzy Osbourne Museum in Philadelphia. I can only think of like, it was like a big, like hard, I can't think of any hard, the only one I can think of is Black Sabbath, and I don't think that's right.
I'm going to need an answer.
All right, I'm going to go Black Sabbath only because it's the only thing I can think of.
Yes, it's Black Sabbath.
No.
Oh, yes. No.
Yes, it is. This is why Stevie had a look on his face. He thinks Ozzy was better when he was still in Black Sabbath.
Yes.
I feel like we need a new category. We have Glenning, we have Lizzing, we have Debbing is just walking away with everything by accident or on purpose. I don't know.
Yeah, well, we're starting out with a sweep after everybody else got no points is a bold move, Deb.
Yeah,
that was impressed. Pretty good.
I just happened to be really lucky to know that Ben Franklin question.
Yeah, so Franklin. Lex, welcome to your first episode of Random Pursuit. Please follow that.
I really feel like I've played this game before. I rolled a 3.
We'll have to check the actual archives instead of just the spreadsheet.
That was a nightmare, Lex, not the
It might have been.
For everyone.
All right. Well, to welcome you to potentially your first episode of Random Pursuit, we have the Trivial Pursuit 2000s edition, which does not have multiple categories on one card. It has multiple different colors of card, each that are their own category. And my least favorite are the pink and the purple because they look similar when they don't have them next to each other. I'm pretty sure this one's pink. Pink, of course, is entertainment in the world of Trivial Pursuit. But each card has its own subcategory. Ooh. So while you answer this entertainment question, keep in mind the subcategory, colorfully named celebs. Colorfully
Excellent.
Named celebs. Yep, yep.
If it's Jack Black or Jack White, I'm ready. Otherwise, I have no idea.
Right. Well, here's your question. You said you rolled a 3?
Yes.
All right. Which comic actor played Barry in High Fidelity in 2000, Nick in Shallow Hell in 2001, and Miles in The Holiday in 2006?
I'm going with Jack Black.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I feel like you deserve some
black color, though.
I feel like you deserve some sort of new type of point for guessing the answer before you heard the question. Yeah. It's not a ghost point. It's like an actually, like, really real point.
It's now a Lex point.
A Lex point,
like
a Lex point.
A halo point.
Oh, my goodness. That was impressive. Was okay, so good job. You followed Deb perfectly. It doesn't matter what happens now. You've done well.
That was amazing.
But you do get to roll again.
This time, Dice by P-Calc rolled a 1.
All right. This is, well, it's been fun talking to you, Lex, but this is coming. Oh, wait, no. I thought this was the Dungeons & Dragons edition. It's not.
Okay.
It's because the cards are similar in some of my newer editions. I haven't had as long. This is the Marvel Studios The Infinity Saga Ultimate Edition.
What
Trivial
is it better
Pursuit.
With Dungeons & Dragons? But okay, here we go.
All right.
I know nothing about either category, but that's fine.
One of the awful things about this game is the fact that each of the categories are colored based on the Infinity Stones. So,
excellent.
So category 1 is green, and that's for the Time Stone. So there you go.
Okay,
there's a category.
Great. Didn't realize there was one called Time. I didn't know uh-huh. that. I didn't know they had names.
Yeah,
honestly.
They do.
I really
they sure
did.
Do.
I passed the Time Stone once.
So here's
really
your question.
Painful.
Pepper Potts was reading a book on what? When Tony Stark reveals he has cracked the secret of quantum travel.
Oh, come on.
A Kindle. No, I genuinely have no idea. Reading a book on what? Time travel.
I mean, that would have been great. That is so far from the answer. Does anybody know this?
I can picture the scene, and I remember she's trying to talk to him, and he's listening, and then he says, well, anyway, I figured it out. It works. But I don't remember what she's... I know. Vermicomposting.
Oh my God, you got it even better than the actual answer, which is just composting.
No, it's vermicomposting. Yeah. Definitely about worms.
Wow. ghost point for Glenn. Mine, negative points for this card, which I had to turn left to right.
Well, all right. How fitting after that round that Deb Stanish, who keeps thinking that she's lost but has actually won 3 times out of 9, manages to sweep that round to be in first place. Lex thinks he has been on the show but hasn't been, but guessed the answer before it was even asked, so he has 1 point. And the 3 perennial losers on this show all ended up with 0. So what a wonderfully fitting and perfect round. Please, everyone, do your best to break stereotype for round 2.
Right. Maybe it's a prognostipoint. Maybe that's what Lex got.
Oh boy, Shelley, please roll and roll strong. You got this.
I rolled a 3.
All right, this is coming from Trivial Pursuit Genus 5. Category 3 is history. What was the largest nation to finally allow U.S. ads on its TV system in 1988?
1988. Mm-hmm. Nation largest U.S. ads. I'm not a very good lizard. I'm not. I'm going to say France?
It's not. It is the Soviet Union,
which is the largest nation in of all.
Yeah, like the largest.
Sure, sure, but so that's not what the question asked.
So. No, it certainly wasn't. No. But it happened to just be both. All right, Glenn, that brings us to you.
I have gotten a one.
Wow. Every time Glenn has had a question, and I realize it's only two times so far, but it's been the two editions or two of the few editions that are only shiny on one side of the card.
Oh, it's like it's taunting me, cards.
Yep. So this is coming from the 1960s edition. Category one is personalities. So who did Liz Taylor call dad? Agatha or Pockmarks? And I don't know exactly how I should be like saying that question because there's no Oxford comma, so I'm not sure. Who did Liz Taylor call dad, comma, Agatha or Pockmarks?
So it's not a colon.
So it's not multiple choice, Agatha or Pockmarks. It's yes. See, this is why we need the Oxford comma, people.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's the 1960s edition. Yes. I know who Liz Taylor is. It's a good starting point. Uh-huh. Dad, Agatha, or Pockmarks? Pockmarks. So I'm thinking if there was a famous actor she would be making fun of who had a mottled appearance, but not as usual in those days. Elizabeth Taylor. It might be that was one of her husbands. I'm just going to say, I'm going to go with the obvious since I don't know the answer. I just figure it's probably somebody she loved and hated. So let me make sure I get the name right, though. It's Richard Burton?
It is Richard Burton. Oh! You get to roll again.
Oh, my God. A point. What the heck?
Hurrah.
Okay. I got a two.
All right. This time it's coming from the Trivial Pursuit Star Wars Classic Trilogy Collector's Edition.
Okay.
Category two is weapons and vehicles.
Okay.
What two types of rebel starfighters were used in the first Death Star battle? I need both types of rebel starfighters.
I believe I hear somehow Steve Lutz screaming at me, or maybe it's Jason from another podcast.
Or it might be Steve Shapansky.
Might be me. Might be me right now.
I think there was an episode in which I just started listing off various wings. Maybe it was a Family Feud. Something went wrong. Buffalo wings. I don't know the answer to this, but I think I can reason it out from people having yelled at me about it before. And so I think the answer is I have no better answer. So the best thing I come up with is an X-wing and a Y-wing.
Steven, is that correct?
Like the chromosomes, yep.
Yes, that is correct.
Oh, thank God that people screamed at me on another podcast about various wings.
All right, you get to roll again.
Okay, best performance ever due to yelling. I got a three. One, two, three. There we go.
All right, well, in keeping with a new tradition here, this is another one of the rare editions that is only shiny on one freaking side of the card.
This is
from the family edition, which came out in 1992. Okay. This card is yellow, which means it's a children's card. So your history question is this.
Okay.
What name was given to the pirate flag that showed a skull and crossbones?
Jolly Rogers?
Correct. The Jolly Jolly Roger singular. I'm not going to penalize you for the S. This isn't Jeopardy. So,
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
You know my
Jolly
weak spot.
Rogers is a terrible seafood restaurant where all the employees wear stripes and don't like it. Don't like it at all.
I don't know what the spreadsheet says, but I'm not sure I ever swept before. Maybe once, but this feels great.
You know what? We will update you on that later in the round. For now, it's time for
I'm so
Gene.
Happy.
Gene, you may roll.
Okay.
Guess that gives people authority to yell at me on other podcasts now. Because it will help me in the future.
For your own good.
I rolled one.
All right. This is another Trivial Pursuit 2000s question. The card is yellow, which means the general category is history. Your subcategory is royals. Yes, and I will tell you that the 2000s edition... Oh, actually, it doesn't matter when it came out, because it's going to be a question from the 2000s. So... Royals. Which member of the royal family left the British Army in 2015 after 10 years of service, including two tours in Afghanistan?
Which member of the royal family? The royal family. I mean, it's royals, not just like...
Yeah, which member of the royal family left the British Army in 2015 after 10 years of service, including two tours in Afghanistan?
Two tours in Afghanistan... Well, I know it's not Prince Andrew, but I don't think it is. No. I'm going to say Prince Harry.
You are correct. It is Prince Harry. He was, you know, he was officially a member of the royals at the time.
Yes.
And you get to roll again.
Oh, yay. I'm not used to doing this. Let's see. Where's that? I'm using Dice by Peacock, and all of a sudden I can't remember how to
roll. See, that's good, because then if you get lousy rolls, you can just blame James Thompson. That's the secret to using Dice by
James.
Peacock.
James! I got a 6.
All right. This is coming from the Lord of the Rings movie trilogy collector's edition, in which category 6 is making movies. So it's all the behind the scenes stuff. And this is the one category that is correctly named color wise, because it's the brown category and they're all brown.
They're all brown.
Yep.
Very shady brown.
Here you go. Which screenwriter had the idea for Merry and Pippin to steal fireworks at Bilbo's party?
Which screenwriter?
Yep, had the idea for Merry and Pippin to steal fireworks at Bilbo's party.
I don't know any screenwriters. I only know Peter Jackson.
Yep.
I'm going to say Peter Jackson.
You know, I salute that guess. That's not correct. It's
Philippa.
Is it Philippa? Yeah.
Boyens?
Yeah. Yes, Boyens. Boyens.
Boyens.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't remember her last name.
I couldn't remember anything except she had an F sound in her name, and I couldn't really sound it out.
All right. Well, I mean, that's part of it. Yeah. Mm. Who is really, except for Liz? Thank goodness there's only one. We love you, Liz. All right, Deb, that brings us to you.
I have rolled a 4.
All right, this is coming from the Silver Screen Edition. Category 4 is on screen. So your question is, what did Woody Allen use to capture the giant runaway breast in Everything You Always Wanted to Know About Sex? I hated that movie at the time. I hate it even more now.
Never seen it.
Woody Allen is just...
Yeah.
So problematic. The runaway breast. I literally have no idea because I have not seen that movie.
Don't.
Actually, you know, I do think I remember seeing part of the movie. Isn't there something where he's all dressed in white and like, yeah, gets stuck in something. I have no idea. A lasso?
No, it's worse.
It's a butterfly net?
A giant bra.
It's a giant brassiere.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't need to have that in my life. I'm happy to, like, give up this point for the cause.
Don't see it. Yeah, the part where he's all dressed in white, I believe he's playing one of his own sperm or one of his parents' sperms or something. I can't remember. It's bad.
He's also
flipping through cable.
Sleeper.
Yeah. Oh, that could be it. It might be Sleeper that I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
Pretending to be a robot.
Yeah. He's a robot. Okay. Yeah.
Wow. Right. All right, Lex, save us from this. Please roll.
I rolled a 1.
All right. Well, you know how I thought you were going to get a question from the Dungeons & Dragons Ultimate Edition last time?
Yes, I do remember that.
Well, now's the time.
Welcome to Random Pursuit,
yep.
Lex.
Mm-hmm. So, category 1 is magic and miscellany.
Okay.
And here's your question. What conjuration spell creates a sphere of poisonous fog which could be dispersed by a strong wind?
Think it through, Lex. It should be easy. Can I hear it one more time?
What conjuration spell creates a sphere of poisonous fog which could be dispersed by a strong wind?
I'm going to go with it's a mystery. See what I did there? A mystery. That's my answer.
That is a very, very good answer. That is not the right answer. I'm guessing we don't have the right crowd here for anybody to know what the actual answer is, do we? Mm. No. It's Cloud Kill, which I didn't know either, even though I've been playing Baldur's Gate 3 all afternoon.
Yeah.
So, but I'll remember it now for my characters later.
Well,
that's what we call Boeing in Seattle now.
Burn.
Well, Glenn, you've appeared on 8 of these, and actually 6 of them, including this most recent one that we're on right now, has included a sweep by you. So, yes, you have. Yeah. So,
that's that razor sharp memory I have.
Yep. Stand amazed at your sweep to tie Dev at the top with 3. Gene also is on the board, but it's early. It's only round two.
And Lex is on the board, too.
And it's on the board already. But so we got 3-3, 1-1-0. Figure out which of those people have which scores, and we'll go on to round three.
All right. And on we forge onto round three. Shelley, go ahead and roll.
I've got a 2.
All right. This is coming from Trivial Pursuit Volume 6. That's right. Volume, not genus. Category 2 is arts and entertainment. What musical mimic said, quote, if you steal enough and mix it up, you can consider it original.
Musical mimic. What version of the game is this?
This is Trivial Pursuit Volume 6. Volume 6 came out in 2003. And we're looking for what musical mimic said, if you steal enough and mix it up, you can consider it original.
Musical mimic. Who could that possibly be? I don't even have a funny guess, which is annoying. I'm happy to, not happy to lose, but I'm at least less unhappy to lose when I have a funny guess. Somebody who's a mashup person, who's a mimicker of other people. That was not me.
Sorry, I lost my dice. Lost my die.
A little Foley fair work.
Right? I'm for the Foley work. I don't know. Weird Al Yankovic.
She lived it. It is indeed Weird Al Yankovic.
I just want to be clear, I knew that one.
I was going to say.
Lex, you knew that?
If Shelley didn't get it right, God. I was just going to ask Lex.
Yeah.
Exactly. Ghost point assumed.
You did an amazing job of not making any sound, Lex.
Yeah, that was very impressive. Did you have to mute your microphone?
No, I muted me only. Just okay, good.
But Lex, thanks for the note, Lex. I appreciate it. Oh, sorry. Should I have not said that out loud?
I think that's the first instance on this show so far in which somebody knows the person in the question. But let's see if more come up. That would not
like
be me.
6 degrees of
Yeah, actually, Glenn, on 6 of your previous appearances, you've actually known the person in the question too. So it's
that's so surprising.
All right, Shelley, you get to roll again.
I have once again rolled a 2.
Oh, that means you get to choose the edition that your question comes from. So I will tell you that the popular ones are the junior trivia, the kids box of the regular or junior trivia, the kids box of the Disney trivia, which isn't all Disney.
Silver Screen classics, too.
That's true. For Shelley, it might be Silver Screen.
I believe I want to commune with my 5 to 9 year old friends. New junior trivia.
All right. So we've got junior trivia 1. Think like a 5 to 9 year old from 1983.
So duck and cover is on the table.
All right.
Or not.
It's under it, actually.
What are baseball fans supposed to do at the end of the 7th inning?
Stretch.
They are indeed. You get to roll
duck
again.
And cover.
Yeah, exactly.
Or
yeah.
Duck, it depends. Duck and cover. That also works.
Yeah.
A 3.
All right. This is coming from the Trivial Pursuit Millennium Edition. That's Millennium, not Millennial.
Not Millennial.
Yep. Category 3
is
history. What celebrated U.S. battleship was affectionately dubbed Mighty Mo? And that's M-O.
So we don't have an era. We don't have a war.
I mean, it's millennium, it happened before 1998.
Well, that narrows it right down, because there were hardly any wars before 1998. Could you read the question again for me, please?
What celebrated U.S. battleship was affectionately dubbed Mighty Mo?
I have a guess. The U.S. Missouri.
It's the USS Missouri, but yes, we are giving that to you.
Of course.
We are not that picky.
They don't count missing S's or extra S's.
No. So
yeah,
congratulations.
Glenn got credited, and he had an extra S, and I had one less S. So
I'll
you
give
both
you my S.
You actually evened it out. So yes, we're all good in S's. And congratulations for leaping onto the board with a sweep. So you can rest on those laurels for a while and let Glenn roll a die.
All right. I got a 1.
All right. This is once again coming from the family edition, which is only shiny on one side.
All right.
Again, it is a yellow card. So it is kid's question.
Let's see if I can get it, though.
Your category is people and places. Mm-hmm. What female singer goes by the same name as a daughter of cartoon character Fred Flintstone? This came out in 1992.
I mean, as far as I know, is this a paternity test for Fred Flintstone we're going to find out about? I think he only had one daughter, and I think her name is Pebbles.
That is correct. Roll again.
Okay. Is it not Pebble? It's Pebbles.
It's so Pebbles. I get the S on that. It is indeed.
I got a 4. Sorry.
All right. This is coming from the Trivial Pursuit DVD Pop Culture Edition. Category 4 is, I got to double check this because this one hasn't come up for a while. I think it's sports and games. Okay. And it is sports and games. So what was the last console system released under the Atari name in 1993?
Oh, let's see. I don't know.
What was the last console system released under the Atari name in 1993?
They use those all the time for crossword puzzles, so I know much more about gaming systems now because things have 3 or 5 letters and they fit in the right spot. Atari, I remember earlier consoles. I'm sorry, what year again did you say? 1983?
93.
93. Oh, mm-hmm. The last Atari, 1993. Yeah,
that's right.
I'm not sure I ever saw that one. I certainly didn't play it. Atari console. I don't know, so I'm going to say the Commander.
It is not the Commander. Does anybody else know this one? I didn't. I looked at the card and made a weird face because I didn't recognize it. I handed the card to Steven. He just nodded.
I've heard of it, but okay. I never played it.
It was the. It was called Jaguar, or Jaguar, I suppose, if you're in the UK. Yeah. Well,
so Atari console, Mac OS operating system, I see. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, there's some crossover. Never in my life ever heard that. Same. So that is does not feel bad to me at all.
All right. Gene, that brings us to you.
All right. Here we go. 6, please.
All right. This is coming from Trivial Pursuit Volume 6, appropriately enough. Category 6 is wild card, so could be anything. Tell me, what P word is synonymous with dessert in Britain? P word?
Pudding.
It's pudding. Nice work. Roll again.
Yay. But only in Britain. Nowhere else has pudding.
Don't try that in Canada.
Yeah. No.
Get a pudding. That's what you'll get.
You get poutine? Okay. Is that what you get?
I mean, only if you're lucky.
Yeah.
Let's all get some poutine.
All right. I did roll a 2.
Okay, this is, it's once again coming from Trivial Pursuit Volume 6. Category 2 is arts and entertainment. What rubber-mouthed star appeared wearing nothing but a sock at the Comedy Store 20th anniversary? What rubber-mouthed star appeared wearing nothing but a sock at the Comedy Store 20th anniversary?
Was this... I don't care where the sock was. Okay. That's not going to help. I don't know the answer, like, factually. I have no idea. But when I hear rubber mouth, I can only think of Jim Carrey, so I'm going with that.
Totally you can only think of the right answer.
Wow.
So you can tell.
Look at you.
I don't remember that incident.
I don't want to remember it. I did. Okay.
Glenn, I just want to be clear, we're now up to 2 answers that I know.
Oh,
okay. close personal friend, Rubbermouth.
Yeah. And Canadian.
5. No, all right. I rolled a 5.
Getting there.
Appropriately enough, this is coming from Trivial Pursuit Genius 5, in which category 5 is sports and leisure. So, what contact sports world champion team wins the Webb Ellis Cup? What contact sports world champion team wins the Webb Ellis Cup? Webb is spelled with 2 B's. Webb. And then Ellis has 2 L's. Yep.
Yeah, that's good to know. So what contact sports champion gets this trophy I never heard of?
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's not hockey. I don't know it's not hockey, but I know it's not the Stanley Cup.
So you can stay on the show is basically what just happened. Yeah. You will not be booted from this Canadian content game show.
It's a Webb Ellis. It's a cup. Did you say it
was
a cup?
The Webb Ellis cup. There's no hyphen in between. Yeah. It's Webb space Ellis.
Mm-hmm. And no, because some sports seem more like they would get cups and others would get trophies. And
that could be a whole podcast.
Be a cup.
That could be a whole podcast of its own.
I think you just got deep there. Yeah. What is a cup, not a trophy? Or vice versa.
So
or
not. I don't know. Again, I don't know. But I am going with, I'm going to say rugby because it seems so contact sporty.
Well, congratulations for sweeping Gene McDonald.
Nice job.
Yeah. Wow.
That's
all right.
With no factual knowledge, I feel very proud of myself, I guess, so, I think.
Rest on those laurels. Everybody's getting laurels to rest on, I guess. Deb, it's your turn.
I have a one.
All right. This is coming from the Totally 80s edition. Remember, there's extra CanCon here. Are we going to get some now? In category HL, which I think is headlines. Here's your category, or here's your question. What Russian word for restructuring was the talk of the 1986 Communist Party Congress?
Word
for restructuring.
I am reading the most amazing book. It's taking me forever because it's a chunk. It's like 900 pages and it's all very short chapters. It's called The Soviet Century. It is amazing because it's a history that's more social things like grocery shopping and apartment buildings and the piano industry. So that is very fresh in my mind.
Give that book to Tucker Carlson, please.
Yeah, right. But that would be Perestroika.
It would indeed.
Wow,
you know, she's been to the Ben Franklin Museum. She's just
you know, you're tied with Lex on direct relevance now. So Lex knows two people, and you've recently read and/or visited a museum related to.
Yeah, I'd rather have yours.
It's honestly, I cannot recommend this book enough. It's like you can't sit down and read it all in one go because it's just so much information. But it talks about elements of history that are not who fought who, which is
that sounds way better.
Can I ask?
It's a German author, and I can't remember his name, but I'm simultaneously reading it and listening to the audiobook because the narrator is fantastic. He's a
British. The Soviet name. Century? Is that
it's
the
called
name?
Called The Soviet Century, yes.
His name is Karl Schlergel. S-C-H-L-E-R-G-E-L.
Right, and it is translated from German, but so good. I really Karl Schlergel. All right, I have another one.
All right, that means you get to choose the edition your question comes from.
Oh, you know, I'm going to go for one of the easy ones.
Go for it.
One of the kid ones. But I remember the kid one really tripped me up last time. So this could be a double-edged sword.
All right. So which kid one are you going to go with?
Okay. Let me...
There are, I think, five choices of kids editions right now in this game. You have the junior trivia, which is not technically Trivial Pursuit, which has the 5 to 9 and 10 to 13. You have the family edition. There's the Trivial Pursuit Junior, and then there's the Kids Box from the Disney edition, which isn't all
you
Disney
know, something,
questions.
I'm going to take that back. I think I'm going to stick with the Totally 80s, because I've been doing really well with that.
Wow.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally I'm gonna, 80s.
I'm going to try Totally 80s. It's probably going to bite me in the behind. Well,
of course. But... I was not ready for that, and now I have to find a Totally 80s question.
I'm so sorry.
No, that's fine. All right. Category one is still headlines. So here is your question. What nation's commercial airliner, mistaken for a U.S. spy plane, was shot down by the Soviets in 1983?
Oh, okay.
Have you gotten to that part in the book yet?
No.
That's funny. That is pretty close.
I got to it in the Turning Point, the Cold War documentary that I've been watching.
What nation's commercial airliner, mistaken for a U.S. spy plane, was shot down by the Soviets in 1983? We're looking for the nation.
I'm torn. I want to say it was either Singapore or Korea. Well, I'm going to go with Korea.
Can you be more specific?
A Korean Airlines, Korean flight, a Korean plane. It's going to have to be North Korea or South Korea, isn't it?
I mean, I can't say any more than can you be more specific?
You know what?
I'm probably going to say South Korea.
Yeah. And it was
I think North Korea.
It was a Korean Airlines flight.
Okay.
Okay. So
I'm only going to say South Korea because I think North Korea would have, it would have caused more of
They haven't actually, they don't have planes in North Korea.
but it was South Korea, and the scorekeeper just said that we accepted Korea anyway. Yeah. So you get to roll again.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Oh, all right. I have a three.
All right. This is coming from the Genus edition. Good old classic Genus. History is your category. How old do you have to become president of the U.S.?
Oh, it's chronologically old, not mentally old, in terms of the 45th president.
How old?
I think it's either 34 or 30. Maybe it's 35. But it's definitely in that mid-30s. I can tell you how old you shouldn't be president.
That's not the question, thank goodness.
All right. So it's going to be 34, 35, 36, 35. It's 35 because it's got to be that like nice middle number, 35.
It is that nice middle number, which brings you to a nice second sweep for this game.
Woo-hoo. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. And I'm doing a cheer dance.
And then it's Lex's turn, and Lex is, he's really getting the classic first. This has to be the first time that you're actually on this show because you're, whatever you roll, it doesn't matter because it's coming from Marvel Studios, The Infinity Saga, Ultimate Edition, Whoa! Trivial Pursuit.
Yeah, roll half a three.
Okay. Well, category three is orange, which is apparently Soul Stone. So,
one of my favorite stones.
Yeah. So think about that.
Soul in the Family Stone. Love that.
What is the name of Scott Lang's boss who fires him from the ice cream store after he finds out Scott Lang is an ex-convict? And I'll just turn that card from left to right as I wait for you to make a guess at somebody's
any day
name.
Of the week.
What was the name of Scott Lang's boss? Mm-hmm. I think Scott Lang is Ant-Man because I've seen some of the Ant-Man movies. Like Paul Rudd. Paul Rudd's boss is Lorne Michaels. I'm going to go with Lorne. I have absolutely no idea.
Apparently, it was somebody named Dale. That is the answer.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yes, it is.
Question.
Bad questions.
It's a bad edition. It's bad.
Do you know Paul Rudd, though, Alex?
No.
No, okay. No,
oh, I have a friend whose wife knows Paul Rudd, though.
There it is.
I'm not kidding.
There it is.
Of course you're not.
Glenn, nobody thought you were kidding.
My friend met him and was totally embarrassed and stuttered and just couldn't say anything, and Paul Rudd walked away very politely.
I want to be clear. I have Paul Rudd's email address. Like, I've been on an email address to Paul Rudd.
Well,
I just know Paul Rudd. I wouldn't claim it.
Okay.
Haven't I seen you in a photograph near Paul Rudd, in fact? I'm not kidding.
Yes,
weren't
actually,
you at an event?
Yes.
And Paul Rudd was very near you.
Near Paul Rudd.
Have you been near?
The TV premiere for an Apple TV show that Paul Rudd and Will Ferrell.
Well, that's pretty close. That's pretty close, Lex, having the email. And close encounter of the second kind, essentially.
two of three parameters have been met.
Well, Lex has 50% of the questions right in compared to how many people he knows within the questions so far in this game. He only has one, but that's all right. You're getting thrown some pretty wild curveballs out there. Welcome to Random Pursuit. Shelley with three because she had a sweep. Glenn didn't have a sweep but has four. Jean had a sweep and she's got four. And Deb leads currently with six because she also had a sweep. Everyone, apart from those who didn't, had sweeps.
Okay. All right, Shelley, will you be sweeping again? Please start us off.
Of course I will.
It's Canada. Of course she'll be sweeping on the ice.
All right.
Yeah, that's what I do.
This is coming from Trivial Pursuit Volume 6. Category 2 is Arts and Entertainment. Who received a thunderous ovation just for tuning his instrument at George Harrison's famed Concert for Bangladesh?
I feel like this is in the Stephen Shapansky wheelhouse. Okay, read me the question again, if you would, please.
He does have a rather smug look on his face. All right.
Of course he does.
Who received a thunderous ovation just for tuning his instrument at George Harrison's famed Concert for Bangladesh?
I'm going to just go with John Lennon.
Stephen?
Ravi Shankar.
It was Ravi Shankar.
Oh!
That makes sense. Yeah, the audience probably didn't know he was just tuning.
Yeah.
Oh, very sad.
Well, that's wow, that is a good that's a clue within a clue. That's very embarrassing.
Yep. Glenn, it is your turn.
All right, I don't know Ravi Shankar.
Speaking of having a clue.
Yeah. Four, thank you.
It's another card from the 1960s, which, of course, is only shiny on one side. Yeah.
Oh, just like me. Yeah. Only shiny on one side.
Category four is music. So here's your question. What rock and roller joined Dean Martin, Sammy Davis Jr., and Mitch Miller on a Frank Sinatra TV special?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we're looking for a rock and roller.
Wow. Can you read those names again?
Yeah. What rock and roller joined Dean Martin, Sammy Davis Jr., and Mitch Miller on a Frank Sinatra TV special?
And I'm sorry, it didn't say the year, but this it's just the 1960s.
Yep.
Oh, wow. Which rock and roller?
Mm-hmm.
Glenn, I'll give you a hint. I haven't met this person.
Oh, that's good. That's good. It means we're not alive in the last 50 years.
I also don't know the answer. I'm just assuming.
You might have. Well, maybe not.
I mean, it probably wasn't Weird Al Yankovic.
I mean, a rock and roller in the 60s, oh, gosh, there are a lot of people to choose from, but I'm trying to think of somebody who would be like, I think of him as pop. I don't know the answer, so I'm going to say Elvis Presley.
That is the correct answer.
Wow.
Oh! Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I mean, I know he's, I just would have thought of him, anyway, mm-hmm. I wouldn't have thought there was the right category, but.
At the time, that was, he
was
wiggled his hips. That was pretty
rock and roll. Called him the king of rock and roll.
Yes, indeed.
Well, it's true, but.
All right, Glenn, you get to roll again.
I this time obtained 3 pips on my die.
All right. This is coming from the Totally 80s edition with the extra CanCon. Category 3 is movies. What Steven Spielberg movie reused the model of a German U-boat built for Das Boot?
Oh, goodness. This is so up my alley, right? It's got German in it. Mm-hmm. Could you read that again? That is hard to parse a little bit.
Yeah. What Steven Spielberg movie reused the model of a German U-boat built for Das Boot?
Oh, this is the 1980s.
Totally.
Totally 80s.
Totally the 1980s.
I believe it's Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
I am sorry. That is not the one.
That movie is not in the 1980s, nor is it
After
Das Boot is 4 years beforehand.
You're right. Of course. Yeah,
it is.
Course.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else? Steven?
It's Raiders of the Lost Ark.
It is Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Oh,
okay. Really? Shot the same year. Yeah, that makes sense that the prop would survive long enough. And also,
it's the scene that I always point to when people complain about the wacky stuff that happens in later movies. He stayed on that submarine as it submerged and traveled across the ocean. There's been weird things happening in the indie movies since day one.
I'm just going to assume that he popped his head in a porthole or something like
that. Yeah, because that happens on submarines. When they submerge, they totally have airlocks.
I guess they don't.
Anyway, Gene, it's your turn.
I'm going to watch that scene very closely now.
He was just hanging to the periscope.
Yeah.
All right, I've rolled a 4.
All right, this is coming from Trivial Pursuit Volume 6, which has got a lot of those in here right now.
Harrison Ford could do anything.
Yeah, sure. Science and nature is your category. What animal's stomach bacteria are Australian scientists trying to use in cattle and sheep to help reduce flatulence? And I like how it says trying as a like present tense. I will tell you that Volume 6 came up.
Well, I mean, did they succeed?
It was 2003. I'm very interested in whether or not that has moved along since then. Let me read you the question again. What animal's stomach bacteria are Australian scientists trying to use in cattle and sheep to help reduce flatulence? We're looking for an animal. A type of animal.
An animal that has a stomach, that has bacteria. And until you said the second half, I was going to guess cows. So I'm going to say that's not that. I'm not going to guess that. What animal is associated with not having flatulence? I can't think of one.
What animal stomach bacteria are Australian scientists trying to use in cattle and sheep, so it's not those, to help reduce flatulence?
Okay, I'm gonna hook my brain into Australia and say kangaroo.
You're correct. Are they known for being unflatulent?
Well, because they jump around a lot, so that basically expends all the energy. How do you think they jump?
Right.
Yeah.
Been there.
Yeah. Steven, you are so full of crap.
So authority, you're full of crap. So we're going to have like little cows and sheep just like jumping all over the place, but fart powered?
Yes, oh, I hope so. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, sometimes your brain goes way too far to science when it should just say, what does that card say? What are the words that were really the hint here?
All right. So you get to roll
in. You know, doesn't always work. Yes, reroll. I got a 2.
All right. This is coming from, it's one of the Doctor Who editions. Yeah, it's the... I'm not even sure which one. It doesn't matter.
No.
They all have basically the same questions. Okay. So you said that was a 1?
A 2.
Okay. Companions is your category. What is the name of Silurian Madame Vastra's human wife?
Oh, yes, I know her. It's been too long.
But does Lex know her?
No, yeah, Lex, yeah, I'm sure has worked with her. It's Madame Vastra. I totally, you know, it's that very nice companion of hers. And what is her name? I just like, I'm totally drawing a blank. I'm just going to say Maggie, total guess.
I'm afraid that is not it.
If you phoned 867-5309, you'd probably get it. It's Jenny.
Oh, no, Jenny.
Yeah. Faster and Jenny. Yep.
As played by Catherine Stewart, who I have interviewed.
That's true. So Steven's got one.
So Steven knows her. Yeah.
She's great. She's a terrific actress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Deb brings this to you.
Yes. I have rolled. Actually, I didn't roll. It just plopped. A 5.
All right. That is... Oh, this is coming from Genus 3. We haven't had one of these yet. Category 5 is sports and leisure. Mm-hmm. What golfer won the first women's open?
First women's open?
Mm-hmm. Tiger Woods. Woods.
Tigress, you mean.
I don't have a clue.
Funny story, it wasn't for golf.
Shush.
I don't even know when the first women's open was. Like... I can't even like narrow it down to a decade.
Ask Lex, he probably knows her.
It was I can tell you it was before 1994 because that's when Genus 3 came out. So sometime before 1994, a golfer won the first women's open. Well, and that I'd golfer's like name was?
I would like to think that, you know, it happened way before 1994, but I honestly, I do not have a clue. I don't even have a clue enough to guess. Like, I have no idea. I submit nothing. I give nothing. I quit. Nothing.
That's fine. I don't recognize this name either. Does anybody know this? Nobody?
No.
Nobody.
It's, like, when was it?
I don't know. The card doesn't tell me that. All I know is that the name is Patty Berg.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. That sounds sure like a name.
Plausible.
All right.
Sure it
don't
is.
Know her.
Lex, that brings us to you. And I will tell you, you are not getting one of the terrible genre editions this time.
I am excited. I rolled a 1.
All right. You are getting the totally 80s edition with the extra cancon. Mm-hmm. So headlines is your category. What rare natural phenomenon hit Barrie, Ontario on May 31st, 1985, killing 8 people?
Whoa.
Steven is nodding like sagely right now.
You said 1985?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Rare natural phenomenon hit Barrie, Ontario, May 31st, 1985, killing 8 people.
I'm going to probably because I just lived through one here in New Jersey. I'm going to go with an earthquake, but I have absolutely no idea.
It is not an earthquake. Steven, I have a
tornado?
Problem with this question. I would
what
like to state
it?
That for
wow.
the record. But Steven, what is your
it's
answer?
A tornado.
Yeah, a tornado. I do not consider a rare natural
phenomenon. Barrie, Ontario, it was.
There.
It was very rare.
It was, but it's not.
That's ridiculous.
The way it's phrased, what rare natural phenomenon? That's not that rare.
I suppose, your Midwestern is showing.
It is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember it. It was a very super rare event, and it's like, what? We never get tornadoes in here. And it was like right downtown Barrie, Ontario.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
The year before I went to college in, it was 1985 was the year before, they had a tornado in the coast of Connecticut,
wow.
where I went to school, which is never happens. So mm-hmm. similar time.
It was caused by the same shark that featured in Jaws in 1975. Patty Burke, by the way, won the 1946 inaugural Women's Open in golf.
Good for her.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be like 1972.
I was worried, yeah.
No, 1946. Yep, she won the Open. Very few people won anything in this round. Only Glenn and Jean had questions right in that. So, but we're probably over halfway there, though, everyone. And Deb currently still leads with 6. But Jean and Glenn tied with 5. Shelley with 3. Lex, hard luck, Lex. With 1, but it can change so quickly, Lex. It can change so quickly.
No, I'm proud that I have 1.
There are games where people don't. Yeah. So this is a good thing. All right, Shelley, start us off.
Roll to 5.
All right, it's coming from the Trivial Pursuit Decades 2010 to 2020 edition. This is one of those editions that has no letters whatsoever on the card to tell me what these categories are. So I have to look to see what the orange category is. It stands for Game On. So your category is Game
On. Okay.
What did Matt Stoney eat to defeat reigning champion Joey Chestnut in 2015?
Many, many hot dogs.
Correct. It is hot dogs. And some of the later editions of Trivial Pursuit do give a little extra information. So I can tell you he ate 62 to win the Nathan's Famous Mustard Belt.
Gross.
62 hot dogs.
Frankly, I won't be trying to beat that record.
Frankly, that's a lot. Well done.
So you get to roll again.
I've rolled a 6.
All right. This is coming from Trivial Pursuit Volume 6. Category is wild card, so not much of a category. What screen character's psychedelic beetle, that's B-E-E-T-L-E, what screen character's psychedelic beetle was one of the first items auctioned from Sotheby's.amazon.com in 1999? And I will tell you that beetle is also italicized. So I will read that
screen
one more time.
Characters.
Yeah, we're looking for
please.
The character. What screen character's psychedelic beetle was one of the first items auctioned from Sotheby's.amazon.com in 1999?
Psychedelic beetle.
Mm-hmm.
Golly. Screen characters. Beetlejuice. No, sorry.
Beetlejuice.
Like I say, I've just sometimes you just have to go for the joke, even if you need to... Spend a little time thinking about your well-crafted answer. Psychedelic beetles. Lex, do you know any psychedelic beetles? how about you, Glenn? I'm sure that your wife's cousin-in-law's brother knows psychedelic beetle.
My second cousin did know Paul McCartney. She was a photographer taking tour pictures for. She knew she met a lot of the bands of the day.
Wait, your second cousin or your psychic cousin?
Second cousin.
These things make difference.
Yeah.
I am not up on my psychedelic beetle screen characters at all. So I'm gonna. I'm just gonna say Beetlejuice because it's stupid. And
I mean that is a fun guess. That's not the answer though. Anyone? Yeah. It was Austin Powers. Apparently, there was a psychedelic.
No, Austin Powers had a psychedelic beetle.
I've never seen any of those movies, so I didn't
remember the movie was that old.
It was.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah.
All right. Well, Glenn. It
remains so.
You get to roll and see if you remember something else.
I think I would have said Austin Powers just thinking I was wrong, though, because I guess it came out then because I saw it in the movie theater back then. I got a 3.
All right. This is coming from the Silver Screen edition. Category 3 is off screen. Off screen.
Uh-oh.
Oh, hey, Glenn, who did Richard Burton marry after after divorcing Elizabeth Taylor for the second time?
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Not
Sandra Oh. No.
after divorcing Elizabeth Taylor for the second time. I'm not sure I know that. Let me think about it. I'm just going to say Elizabeth Taylor because maybe they got married 3 times. I don't know.
That's a good answer. That's not the correct answer. Again, I happened to catch the answer to a different question. I'm very glad the answer is not his horse because that would be very silly. No, it's Susan Hunt is the correct answer.
Absolutely never heard of her. I'm sorry to her and her estate.
Yes.
However, Richard Burton was excellent in the stage performance of Equus at some point.
You're making this up.
I am making it up.
Yep. All right, Jean, it is now your turn.
Okay.
For that part.
I rolled 1.
All right. This is a card that now, if you get this wrong, you can blame either James Thompson or Antony Johnston, who sent me the Trivial Pursuit Globetrotter edition, the all geography cards. So your category is North America.
Love geography.
Mm-hmm. I blame them now. Let's just get that on the record.
Okay. Steven adores North this America. Edition. Yep, North America. Which is North America's only native marsupial?
Oh, interesting.
Yep.
I mean, I think I know the answer. And now I'm like, no, you. How do you know that? But I think it is.
Don't question it if you know the answer.
I know. The possum.
It is indeed the opossum.
Yeah.
It's opossum. Card. Okay, so thank you opossum, for not jeopardying me because I didn't want to say the O.
And that's fine. Like I have heard recently that there's actually like a technical difference between them, but...
Well, yeah, there's a totally different, like, I don't know.
But we're giving it to you, you know. So
I have a possum scarf that my sister brought me back from New Zealand, and I immediately went, a possum scarf? And then I looked it up, and they have an animal there. It is not the same as the marsupial of North America.
Interesting.
I don't want a scarf from that. Nope.
Our opossum, I think, comes from a Native American root word, if I recall.
As many.
Like okay. Raccoon. Oh, I got to roll again.
Yeah, you do have to roll again.
I'm going down possum memory lane here. Okay. I rolled a 4.
All right. This is coming from the Genus Edition, good old classic, in which category 4 is arts and literature. What's the title of Mark Twain's autobiography?
Oh, interesting. I believe it's called The Autobiography of Samuel Clemens.
It's not.
No?
Nope.
Is it Life on the Mississippi?
It's Life on the Mississippi.
Yeah, I wouldn't have guessed that.
My wife grew up in West Hartford, which is just feet away from the Mark Twain house.
Dang it. Yeah, I'm too far.
I think you should invite Deb. I mean, she's on a tour of museums, right?
I've been to the Mark Twain Museum. It's quite good.
Can I get a national park stamp?
It's on a state park, though. It might be state.
Well, you can. You can get a die roll because it's your turn.
I have a 2.
All right. This is coming from the Trivial Pursuit Junior Edition, in which category 2 appears to be a purple oval. And that means fun. Deb, this is one of the best categories ever. It's fun. Okay. So answer this.
You say that. You say question. That. But I have been screwed over by the trivia edition.
Uh-huh.
So, okay.
All right. Okay. Who goes on wild, and I will tell you wild is in quotation marks, but it's lowercase. Who goes on wild adventures with his best friend, Hadji, and his dog, Bandit? Hadji is spelled Hadji and Bandit.
Oh,
who goes on wild adventures?
His dad's a scientist. he's got like this. Oh my God. His dad's got like this really severe haircut.
I love how you're trying to Liz this, and I have no idea if you're even on the right track. I'm so trying because
I can see it. I can like hear the music.
This edition came out in 1996. I don't know if that's helpful.
Johnny Quest.
She lived it.
Yeah.
Oh my God, Jean was so relieved.
I was like, please. Because obviously you watched it. You knew the show. I watched
I knew the show
so much when
like,
I was a kid. Yeah.
All right.
It was one of those ones, those reruns. It wasn't my favorite, but it was always like on between, like before something I wanted to watch. So.
It was very exotic, but it had no girls in it, as
of course.
You rightly pointed out. And I think, why did I like that so much? But
We did what we made do with what we had at the time.
Yeah. But you put yourself in the Simba the White Lion. Okay. I have a 4.
All right. This is coming from the DVD Pop Culture Edition. Category 4 is sports and games. What NFL quarterback appeared in There's Something About Mary as Mary's ex-boyfriend?
Oh, can I have this question, please? I'll trade.
Sorry, we don't do that. But if Deb gets it wrong, we go to you first for the ghost point. How's that?
That was Brett Favre, I believe.
Yes, it was.
She got it right.
Yeah.
Yes. As a, you know, I grew up a Packers fan, so I even though I've never seen that movie, I knew
when
the answer.
When was the last time Brett was over at your house, Lex?
He's not welcome here.
Oh, of course. I forgot the Eagles. Sorry. I never forget the Eagles.
All right. Deb, you get to roll again.
I have a 4.
Since you rolled a 4 last time, you get to choose your addition. What would you like?
I'm not going to try to 80s this. I'm going to go back to junior trivia. Let's do 5 to 9.
All right.
Because I'm cheap.
All right. Category 4. Oh, actually, there are categories for junior trivia, which a lovely listener pointed out. Listener Seb, thank you. Let's see. Category 4 is literature/art/words. Mm-hmm. That's your category. Mm. What? Oh, boy. What do you call summer shoes? What do you call summer shoes?
How are you feeling about?
This is like, this is like, why? I should have just stuck with the 80s. Right. I was on a roll.
Junior trivia is brutal. Oh, my God.
I'm going to say sandals, but it could be sand shoes. It could be so many other things, but I'm going to go with sandals.
It is sandals for the sweep. Good job. They're tricky. Those are very, very
they
tricky.
They are tricky. Mm-hmm. Do you remember the wheel one with the roller skates? Like, we were all stumbling on that one.
It's okay. Awful. All right. Lex, that brings us to you.
Can't wait. I rolled a 3. I hope it's more things that I don't know anything about.
Well, it's a family edition card.
I have a family?
You have a family. Yes.
What do you know about them?
This came out in 1992. This, however, is a turquoise colored card, which means it's for the grown-ups. So I'm afraid you're not getting a kid's question.
That's fine.
Instead, you're getting a history question. And that question is, what U.S. president was thrilled to be willed Ben Franklin's, quote, fine Crabtree walking stick? Let me start that over for you. What U.S. president was thrilled to be willed Ben Franklin's fine Crabtree walking stick?
That was not in the museum, by the
era,
way.
And
they left that out of the museum.
By era, it's got to be early. I mean, because he has to be alive when Franklin dies.
This is good logic. This is excellent.
In his family tree, John Adams not nearly as interesting. Let's go with the first president, George Washington.
Lex has another point. Nice work.
Hey. Well, it's funny. I would have guessed Thomas Jefferson, but that's great.
He was
that's
my good. Next guess.
All right. You get to roll again.
Oh, that's right. a 2.
2. All right. This is coming from the 20th anniversary edition, in which category 2 is SS, which does not stand for Stephen Shapansky.
Sadly.
It stands for something else. Sound and screen. Sound and screen.
Oh, else doesn't start with an S. Oh, I got it. Sound and screen.
Yep. What movie introduced film buffs to the line, quote, I crap bigger than you?
Oh, man.
What movie introduced film buffs to the line, I crap bigger than you?
I'm going to go with Glengarry Glen Ross.
It's not. It's much sillier.
Star Wars.
No.
Oh.
City Slickers.
City Slickers.
Okay. I believe it was Jack Palance.
Oscar-winning right. Jack Palance. Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Before he did his...
His famous one-armed push-ups. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. I think what he did.
Yeah. We are
great times.
We're about to enter our final regular round, everyone. Deb with another sweep as leading with 9. Gene has 6. Glenn with 5. Shelley with 4. Lex doubled his total and now has 2.
Woohoo!
All right.
What happened to being Erica's favorite person?
I forgot it's been a while since I've had to do that. So Lex, guess what, Lex? You're my favorite. Yep, totally.
Well, that's the reward. Honestly, I wasn't aware that
yeah,
was.
Well, the reason that I haven't done that in a while is because that was when I was the scorekeeper and the host. Mm-hmm. When I would read the scores, I would say, and so-and-so is my favorite. So,
that's right.
Steven, you should probably just add that in.
Who's Steven's favorite person? That's
none
what
of you
know.
Are my favorite. I am.
I was thinking. It's like,
I am not
partial. Yeah, probably not.
No, you should just say, the last one is Erica's favorite. You can just put it on me.
That's true. That's true.
I thought you were going to say Steven's favorite person is sitting right near him.
Right, so true.
Right?
Anybody who can guess that gets a point.
Woohoo!
All right. Shelley, speaking of points, go ahead and roll, and we'll see if we can get you another one.
I'll take 4, please. I mean, I rolled a 4.
All right. This is coming from the Star Wars original trilogy.
Excuse me, I have to phone my friend Dan.
Afraid not. This is, let's see, category four is geography. I'm pretty sure that's what the geo means.
Star Wars and geography. Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh my God.
Yep. Mordor.
Yep.
Right up to Mordor. That's it. Hogwarts. Right.
So your question, and this is one of those cards that has a picture on the back, and the picture is not helpful. I'm not even going to describe it because it will not help.
Can you show me the picture?
I will show you the picture. But okay. First, I'm going to read the question.
Steve will be the judge of that.
What was described as the, quote, forest moon? And I'm showing Steven the picture. Tell her it's not helpful.
It's not helpful, Shelley.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, what was described as the forest moon.
I don't know Star Wars very well at all. I know a few names of things, and I don't even know what those things are. I mean, I've seen Star Wars, but it was a long time ago, probably before they tinkered with it. I don't know. So having said all that, there's no Lizzing going on. I just don't know the answer. I'm going to say Tatooine.
It is not Tatooine. Anybody else?
Forest Endor? Moon.
The forest Endor. Moon of Endor.
Endor. It is Endor. So it rhymes with Mordor. So
it sounds a lot like Mordor. Yeah.
Steven, would you like to tell them what was on the card?
Yeah, there's a shot of Mon Mothma and General Nadine and some other people in the back, including some Mon Calamari at the big meeting and from Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're there making you some of this up, right? I have no idea.
None of those names rang a bell.
No, but
exactly.
The actor who played General Nadine, who I can't remember whose name is now, Gerald somebody, had his voiceover dubbed, but he later was one of three people who auditioned to be the seventh Doctor in Doctor Who.
True.
Oh.
That's an actual true story. Mm-hmm. I only know about Doctor Who.
That is also a true story.
Yeah.
Glenn, that brings us to your turn.
I have rolled a five.
Five. This is coming from the Trivial Pursuit Classic Edition. Not to be confused with the Classic Genus Edition, which is the actual classic.
Oh, all right.
This is the Trivial Pursuit Classic Edition, which came out in 2016 and is not really all that classic because, again, no letters on this card to tell me what this category is.
Okay.
It's science and nature. So at least they got that part right. Five should always be science and nature.
Mm-hmm.
What part of a flower contains bright yellow sacs that produce and contain the pollen grains? And that's SAC, S-A-C-S.
Well, you know, my wife is a horticulturist by training, and...
Wow, don't call her that.
Hey! Well, I know it's either the pistil or the stamen. Now, the question is, if I can remember which is which after all of my years of studying that
Here, I'll read it again for you. What part of a flower contains bright yellow sacs that produce and contain the pollen grains?
Boy, that's contain bright yellow sacks. Santa Claus. No, it's wrong color. That's saffron cloths. sorry. Can you tell I'm
vamping a little bit? Mm-hmm.
Let's see. I must know the answer to this. I think it is a pistil and stamen are the two parts of the apparatus that fertilizes a flower. Requires bee intervention or insect intervention. I am going to say it is the, I'm going to get this wrong. I think it's the stamen. I'm going to say the stamen.
You were going to get it wrong either way. I'm sorry, Glenn.
Oh, it's not the pistil or stamen.
Nope.
It's the ovary?
Nope. It's the anther. A-N-T-H-E-R. Anther.
I'm aware of that.
I thought the
word,
anther was obvious, Glenn. I don't know.
Oh, dear.
Oh, my. I'm aware of that word, but was not in this context. All right.
So
there you go.
Gene, we move on to you. I feel like for our last regular round, we're just replaying the first round.
And, yep.
You know,
much.
Exactly.
It does kind of feel that way.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Anther, that's a real trivia question. Anther, that's good.
I was surprised. I had never heard of that. How can it exist if I never heard of it? All right. Rolling a six.
All right. This is coming from Trivia Pursuit Genus 5. Category 6 is the uncategory wildcard. What event prompted satirists at The Onion to headline, quote, world's largest metaphor hits iceberg? What event prompted satirists at The Onion to headline, world's largest metaphor hits iceberg?
The Titanic 2?
I'm afraid not. It was actually the sinking of the Titanic 1. The
original Titanic. Yeah.
It was about the actual Titanic.
The sequel's
I see.
Yeah.
It was the world's largest metaphor, I suppose.
Unsinkable.
Hubris.
All right. Deb, if we do actually echo the first round, you're about to have a sweep. So let's get this started.
I'm due for like a Dungeons and Dragons question or something. 3.
All right. This is coming from the 90s. 90s time capsule edition. I'm afraid it's not Dungeons and Dragons.
Unless the question is.
It existed in the 90s. This card comes from 1995. Mm-hmm. The category is viewing. Mm-hmm. What never seen Frasier character grew up wealthy thanks to the sale of urinal cakes? What never seen Frasier character grew up wealthy thanks to the sale of urinal cakes? Are you still there, Deb?
I'm still here. I am thinking because it's, I think it is Niall's wife. I'm just trying to remember her name because we never see her.
That part is true.
I think it's Maris, Mary, and Maris. It's
yes.
Maris.
You got it. All right.
Good work.
That was Lizen. All right.
Yeah, and so the potential sweep begins.
Mm-hmm. Roll again.
A 1.
All right. This is coming from Genus 3. Category 1 is people and places. What mm-hmm. TV talk show host aptly called his autobiography Exposing Myself? And of course, Exposing Myself is italicized. What TV talk show host aptly called his autobiography Exposing Myself?
I'm going to guess Jerry Springer because I really don't know, but I would think like he's kind of the most controversial. But I'm going to go with Jerry Springer.
I'm afraid we are not repeating the first round. It is not Jerry Springer.
I think
I know, but if somebody else knows, I'll go first.
Go for it, Glenn.
Howard Stern?
Nope.
I wouldn't think it was TV. Oh,
yeah, he's not
Regis
TV.
Philbin, but I have no idea.
No, it was.
Oh, not
Geraldo Rivera.
Oh.
He did. I never think of him as a talk show host, though.
Oh, he was. I'm
glad you got it wrong.
Yeah. Sometimes it feels better to not know the answers. It's so true.
Al Capone's vault.
Tell that to my friend Dale, the ice cream store manager.
Lex, it is your turn.
I can't wait. I have rolled a 2.
All right. This is coming from the Silver Screen Edition. The Silver Screen Edition came out in 1983. So it's about
movies.
I'm
famous for having seen many movies. So this will be good.
Oh, no. I'm so sorry. So movies before 1983. Category 2 is...
Unmuting, just in case I'm needed.
Mm-hmm. Category 2 is the pink category, which... What is this? Is it titles? It better be titled. The letters on the card are TIT, which never helps me.
I think it is titles. I think it is titles.
Yes. Okay.
We go through this every time.
Unless it's another Woody Allen question.
All right. What 1945 film was about a weekend in the life of would-be writer Don Burnham, played by Ray Milland? What 1945 film was about a weekend in the life of would-be writer Don Burnham, played by Ray Milland?
I'll tell you this. Casablanca came out in 1942, so it is not the correct answer.
True.
That would be the end of my knowledge on this topic. I have no idea. I play nothing. My answer is nothing.
May I please have my ghost point? The movie that has never yet been done on Lions, Towers, and Shields, The Lost Weekend.
Yes, it is The Lost Weekend. Oh. I love that movie. And I can't remember, like, it's been long enough now that I cannot remember if I actually bought the DVD of that for my alcoholic ex-boyfriend or if I just thought about it a lot. But it was something.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he actually liked the movie and we talked about it. It wasn't like out of the blue.
For a movie of that era, its portrayal of alcoholism is pretty stark.
It's impressive.
And worth watching. It's great. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. All right.
All right. Well, that's the end of the last regular round. Before the infinity round begins, I will tell you the scores. Lex is having a great old time. He's got 2.
He's my favorite.
I'm Stephen's favorite.
Yeah. We're both. Yeah, you're both our favorites. Shelley has 4. Glenn with 5. Gene with 6. Deb is in the lead now with 10.
All right.
Whoa.
Yeah. All right.
If I get 9 in a row, I can do this.
So the way that this works is we're going to start with Deb and she's going to go first to give us basically the goal. And then we're going to loop around and it will be Lex and then Shelley and then Glenn and then Jean. But before each player does their final infinity round, I've come up with a name for the plugs section of the show. So we're calling this the outlet. So Deb, right now I'm giving you an outlet to tell me your plugs.
Oh gosh, a plug. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be about me. It can be about anything.
I mean, it could be. I'm not going to hold you, it specifically.
I'm not kind of doing anything right now. You know, stuff's happening. But I'm listening to a podcast that I'm really enjoying. It's called So Much Stuff to Sing, and it is about musical theater. And it's two people very knowledgeable about musical theater. I have no knowledge of musical theater and not that much interest, to be honest. But listening to smart people talk about something that is like very interesting is kind of my jam. And I just wanted to listen to, and I know both of the people host, Eric Stadnick and Shannon Dohar. And I just kind of wanted to listen to some like friends' voices, and it was so good. I still am not that much into musical theater, but again, smart people talking about smart things. So if you are, I highly suggest listening to So Much Stuff to Sing on your preferred podcast app.
Eric Stadnick, who was on the previous episode of Random Pursuit.
To plug there that very go. Podcast.
Yeah, I think he did. Yep. So yeah, two in a row.
Yeah.
Nice work for So Much Stuff to Sing. But now you get to roll.
Okay. All right. You know, I remember the last time I played this, I was in the lead and then Cat came by, smoked me, left me in the dust. So like it's anybody's game, people.
Almost anybody.
No. It's happened. Lex, it's happened at least twice, maybe more times.
All right. I have a one.
All right. This is from the 1990s Time Capsule Edition. This card is from 1996. This category is another one of my favorite categories. It's oops. Yeah. The category is oops. Mm-hmm. So what Scandinavian nation had to cancel its annual World Mosquito Killing Championship in 1996 due to a shortage of prey? What Scandinavian nation?
Can you repeat that?
Yeah, Scandinavian nation had to cancel its annual World Mosquito Killing Championship in 1996 due to a shortage of prey.
Okay, so due to a shortage of mosquitoes.
Correct. Yeah, prey, P-R-E-Y. Okay.
Well, this is going to be me just guessing a Scandinavian nation. With mosquitoes. I mean, something wet? Say Norway? No, that doesn't sound right. I'm going to go with Finland.
Finland. She got it.
No, really?
Yep.
Wow.
Roll again.
I mean, we're doomed.
Okay. Two.
All right. This is also coming from the 1990s Time Capsule Edition. This card is from 1990, a little earlier. Mm-hmm. Category two is Wired. Mm-hmm. Wired. What modestly priced personal computer became a professional quality video production system with the aid of Nutex's video toaster?
Oh, man.
There's some words in there I think I understood. Can you repeat that question?
Mm-hmm. What modestly priced personal computer became a professional quality video production system with the aid of Nutex's video toaster? Nutex is capital N-E-W, capital T-E-K. In Pascal case, there's no space. And then video toaster is italicized as two words.
A video toaster? Like a toaster.
Oh, Deb.
While you're thinking about it, I will mention that the video toaster was in part invented by Brad Carvey, brother of Dana Carvey, who based Garth on his brother Brad.
Wow.
Oh, that's good.
That is a legitimately fun fact.
Yeah.
I've got another related fun fact, but I'm going to wait until after the answer because it could
be. You know something? The only moderately priced computer that I can think of is that people could afford to buy was like a Commodore, but aren't there's a bunch of numbers behind those? Do I have to get like all I know is a con? It's the only one I can think of is a Commodore.
That is not the correct answer.
Okay,
Lex, do you have the ghost point on this one?
I don't know if it's a specific Amiga, but I would imagine it's the Amiga. And if it's a specific one, it's probably the 2000.
It just says Amiga, so
yes.
So you get bonus ghost points for knowing the 2000. If that was the correct.
The fun fact is that if I remember this right, Lex, maybe you can correct me on this, but maybe not. Is I think Will Wheaton left Star Trek.
Yep.
To go to work for video toaster because he thought it was. And, like, was actually not incorrectly. It was a very important turning point in television production.
Video toaster was interesting. A big deal.
Never heard the term video toaster before.
I went to school for radio, film, and television. So, like,
this is
it's very important.
All right. That means, Deb, you have made the number to beat 11.
Okay.
And,
okay.
Yep. 11. And Lex, it is your time first. It's your outlet to plug.
Good luck, buddy.
Oh, my outlet to plug. I have a daily podcast at daily.lexfriedman.com. It's called Your Daily Lex. And I like daily things, so I offer currently 7 daily word games at lex.games. So go play some of those games at lex.games. That's my outlet.
They're really, really fun. Yep. Yeah. Oh, this is why Lex is my favorite. It's not because he has viewpoints. It's he gives me games to play every day.
I like my games because those I know the answers to.
All right. So it has been done before. You have 2 points. It's possible. So go ahead and roll.
I have rolled a 3. Thanks All to right. James Thompson.
This is coming from the Walt Disney Family Edition from 1986. I will quickly point out, not every question is a Disney-related question. It's an edition that has one box for kids and one box for grown-ups. This is the box for grown-ups. So, Lex, welcome to the world of people. It's the worst world. All right. Oh, this is actually a Disney question. What did Walt Disney say was his greatest ally in assembling a top-notch 1930s staff? What did Walt Disney say was his greatest ally in assembling a top-notch 1930s staff?
What did Walt Disney say was his greatest ally? Inexperience. His greatest ally was his own inexperience.
That is a lovely answer. But you can try for a ghost point if you'd like, Shelley.
It's a depression.
That was my second guess.
Oh, you should have gone with it as your first because it was the right answer.
Yeah.
The depression.
It's also very true to form for Walt Disney.
Yeah, that's
I thought
harsh.
It might be fascism, but that would be too harsh.
Yeah, there are several isms that could have been the answer for Walt Disney, but we'll just let that
as
lie.
Long as it's the depression and not just depression.
that's the current recruiting tech.
Quite dark.
It's true. Well, Lex, thank you for playing. I do hope that you will come back, even though this tends to be what happens the first time people play.
You're like an expansion team. You basically are expected to lose horribly in your first time
I'm
around.
Happy to do my part.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. You just, think of the draft picks you're going to get for the next one.
Wait, are we doing that now?
I guess so.
Okay. Oh, boy.
Just trying to butter them up, so we'll come back.
Oh, that's a good variant. I like
that. Oh, no, no ideas. All right. So that brings us next to Shelley, who has 4 points. Shelley, this first is your outlet to plug.
Outlet to plug. Well, since I already inadvertently plugged my show right here on the Incomparable Network, I'll do something I've never done before. I'll plug my day job on a podcast. I work for a radio show called The Texas Standard, and even if you're not from Texas, you might enjoy some of our eclipse coverage, which will be outdated by the time this show is released, I realize, but it's kind of top of our mind as we record. So if in retrospect of the eclipse, you want to look back and see what people were thinking right at the time of totality, I would encourage you to go to texasstandard.org. You may also go there if you want to know what the heck was going on in Texas? Why did they lose their minds that day? TexasStandard.org, friends.
All right. Well, now you get to roll a die. And hopefully not lose
6.
Your mind over this
hopefully
question.
Hopefully not.
From the
6.
Genus Edition.
Oh, the original.
Yes, the original.
Okay.
Sports and Leisure, as is right and proper for a 6 in Trivial Pursuit. What 4-time National League batting champ was killed in a plane crash on December 31st, 1972?
You know, it's really weird. It's a baseball question, and I immediately know the answer. I feel like I should have myself checked out. It's Roberto Clemente.
It is indeed. You get to roll
That's
again.
That's good.
And
the
I
big
will.
Big bopper.
I rolled a 1.
All right. This is coming from the Trivial Pursuit Totally 80s edition with the extra CanCon. Category 1 is the category we keep coming back to in this game. It's still headlines. What world leader led Ronald Reagan to bristle, quote, "I find he's not only a barbarian, but he's flaky." What world leader led Ronald Reagan to bristle, "I find he's not only a barbarian, but he's flaky"?
A barbarian who is flaky, according to Ronald Reagan.
I mean, does that actually narrow it down? I don't know.
Yeah.
No, but if I'm saying words, I've got time to say words. I'm going to do it. I'm going to say Brezhnev, because he was right at the end of his rule as Reagan was just getting started. And I know Reagan and Gorbachev were friends and stuff, I guess, ish. So I'm just going to say Leonid Brezhnev.
That's a very good guess, and I like the fact that you gave some backing, you know, logic for it, but that is not correct. Steven, do you know this one? Oh, do you have a look on your face?
No. Konstantin Chernenkov.
No.
Mikhail Gorbachev.
No.
Muammar Gaddafi.
Andropov?
Gaddafi.
Gaddafi, there we
it
go.
It is Gaddafi.
Gaddafi! Yeah. Oh, yeah, because okay. He sort of, he saw him as an ally, I forgot. Yeah. Great ally.
All right, so, well, I mean, Shelley, still, that brings you to 5, which is a very respectable score for Random Pursuit. And, yeah, thank you also for being here from a trailer. I appreciate your extra hard work. All right. Next up is Glenn. Glenn, it is your outlet to plug.
Oh, well, hey, thank you so much. I just finished the Kickstarter funding for a book about comics history and printing history, two of my biggest passions, and it traces from the 1890s to the present how comics went from an artist's hand through all of the intermediate steps of marking colors and lettering and so forth into the printing process and then out onto newsprint. It's just covering newspaper comics, which is a big enough operation itself, and I was very excited to get it crowdfunded because it's a really weird book idea. But you can find out more about it and actually pre-order a copy, because the book won't be out until this fall, so you can pre-order now ebook and print book editions and some cool higher tier rewards at howcomicswermade.inc. That's INK, howcomicswermade.inc. And if you had a slash order, it takes you to the pre-order site. Very excited to get this book out into the world about weird comics printing history things.
Very cool. All right. Well, go ahead and roll, and let's hope you get a comics printing history question. Oh, wouldn't that be fun?
Come on. Come on. Al Cap and Silly Putty. 2.
All right. Well, it's coming from Trivial Pursuit Classic Edition. That's the 2016 quote-unquote classic edition.
Okay.
Yep. Category 2 is entertainment.
Okay.
Who is deputy director of the Pawnee Department of Parks and Recreation?
The deputy director.
Who is deputy director of the Pawnee Department of Parks and Recreation?
Is it? Oh, my God.
And as you might guess, Parks and Recreation is italicized.
Is it Ron Swanson?
I'm afraid it is not.
Is he the?
I think he's the director.
Is he the director?
The deputy director is Leslie Knope. As the card tells me, played by Amy Poehler.
There we go. Yeah. Thank you for
confirming that. Nick Offerman, who plays Ron Swanson, was in a movie that a friend of mine made.
Ah.
But there we are.
Uh-huh. Of course.
We'll close with that on my contribution to this episode.
Well, I mean, you end with 5, tied with Shelley. That's nice, right?
I'm ecstatic with this, with the randomness of this.
All right. That brings us to Jean, our last best hope. Not that we're hoping that somebody topples Deb.
Right.
But if anybody were going to, it would have to be you, Jean. But before that, it is your outlet to plug.
Well, I'm going to go with now that Apple's announced the WWDC dates, starting, I think, dates, it's a day. But even though Apple is not doing their big one-week thing, a lot of people are doing things that they used to do during WWDC before the pandemic, including my pal James Dempsey, who is the band leader of the James Dempsey and the Breakpoints. And he's going to do another show during that week. And it's going to be a benefit show, as it's been. He used to support App Camp for Girls when we were a nonprofit, and he's done benefits for Girls Who Code and Black Girls Code. So it's a good thing to, if you're going to be in the Bay Area, it's going to be June 12th and a fun show. So, and a good cause.
Very cool.
And details at livenearwwdc.com.
All right. Well, thank you for that. And now you get to roll.
Roll. Okay. Here we go. Now I've lost my dice.
Oh, no.
And no pressure, but Gene, you need 5 to tie, 6 to win.
Yeah.
So make sure this roll's a good one for your sake.
Okay. Well,
see, it was so much nicer when I was keeping the score myself. It's just got me. That's fine.
I know it's been a while since I've been on the show, but the vibe is totally yes, my roll is a 2.
All right. This is coming from the Family Edition, which came out in 1992. This is a yellow card, which means it's a children's box question. Your category is entertainment. What MTV show was hosted by Fab Five Freddy?
Oh, gosh, I don't know.
What MTV show was hosted by Fab Five Freddy? I don't know if it will help you, but the five is a numeral, not the word. Fab Five Freddy.
I mean, the Fab Five to me is the Queer Eye guys, so I know that's not...
Probably not in 1992.
This kid's question.
Maybe in 1992, they were watching this MTV show hosted by Fab Five Freddy.
Let's see. What's the show? And it's a kids thing, so it's not going to be... I don't even know what the MTV was doing.
Watched this show.
Wow.
I appreciate that Lex is going to get another ghost point. Unless if Gene, you know, Liz's this out and gets it right, like, then
no,
it's all
no,
Gene.
No, it's okay. I'm getting close to my demise here. But I just have to think for a second, like, MTV had shows. The shows that I think of with MTV are things like The Real World, which is not a kid's show. And so what did they have for kids? I don't know. So I'm just going to have to say I have no answer for this. And I cede my point can go to the spirit world with Lex or whoever else.
I'm going to the spirit world, everybody. yo! MTV Raps.
That is correct. Okay. It is Yo MTV Raps.
I never heard of it.
Back when MTV, when the M still stood for music, they actually had shows based around music like Yo MTV Raps and Headbangers Ball. And
if I recall, the show is weirdly punctuated where it's got an exclamation point after the Yo.
It sure does. MTV Raps. Yep. Wow. So Lex's pronunciation gets like an extra bonus half ghost point.
Because as we found out, Fab Five Freddy told me everybody's fly. DJ Spin and I said my. Flash is fast. Flash is cool. Francois, c'est pas. Flash ain't no dude.
Wow.
It's from Rapture by Blondie from 1981. So there you go.
Yes, of course.
Don't get excited when you pull a kid's question.
That's true.
That is really the moral of the story.
It is indeed. just like Embarrassing Raps, which is what that was from Deborah Harry.
It really was.
Blondie. Hopefully this is not an embarrassing rap to the show, but it's not an embarrassment, Lex. You did your best in your first attempt. You got 2 points, and that 2 points is a win in hockey. So technically you won this game with 2 points. But you didn't. You finished last. Shelly and Glenn each finished with 5. Gene was 6. But woo. Deb has now batting 400 like Ted Williams in 1941. Your fourth win, Deb, with 11 points. Congratulations.
Wow.
It was the luck of the cards. I know many things. I just can't remember all of them.
But the thing is, it always is the luck of the cards.
Yep.
So congratulations to you on the luck of the cards. But I do, I want to thank all of our players. Thank you, Shelley, Glenn, Gene, Deb, and Lex. Special thanks to my scorekeeper, spouse, and keeper of the Random Pursuit spreadsheet, Stephen Shapansky. And thank you, as always, to our listeners. Please join us again on the next Incomparable Game Show. Cheers.